An old friend of mine is famous for the saying, "I'm not much, but I'm all I think about." Part of what keeps that comment funny after all these years is the kernel of truth that it reflects about my friend. Another part of what keeps it funny is the bit of truth that it reflects about me. Not too many years ago, I would have become defensive about that saying being applied to me. I would have wanted to explain away similarities between myself and my old friend's saying. But life changes us. Getting older can offer us the advantage of having a better understanding of ourselves and the good and not so good personality characteristics that we possess. Having an awareness of the shortcomings in my personality offers me the opportunity to live past the limits that I would otherwise be bound to if that insight was lacking. But not everyone grows into a better understanding of self. The rich man in today's gospel story from Luke is a great example. In the story, it is easy to imagine how the rich man lives his earthly life in comfort and splendor, and how Lazarus has lived a poor life of pain and misery. We can imagine that God has watched all this from afar and has kept score of the benefits the rich man enjoys and the pains that Lazarus endures. Then, after their deaths, God has taken out his ledger sheet and settled the accounts. Lazarus is placed in the bosom of Abraham and spends eternity in peace and comfort, while the rich man is condemned to an eternity of misery. "Fair is fair," Abraham tells the rich man. "You had your good times during your earthly life, and Lazarus now gets his turn." And just to be sure that no funny business happens, God has created an impassable abyss between Lazarus and the rich man. No second chances here. God's justice is absolute. But I can also imagine a bit of a different scenario, one that does not hinge on God's administering justice with a hell prepared in advance for all sinners who fail to live the life that God wants them to live. Instead, I can imagine an afterlife that includes a hellish place that is developed out of our own failings and tortures that are self-inflicted. In this version of hell, God does not make the rules. We do. In this scenario, God does not condemn us anywhere, does not inflict tortures upon us, or withhold his love and mercy. This hell is completely self-imposed. The rich man is not sent to where he is by God. He has placed himself there with his arrogant belief in his own self-importance and by his indifference to the poor, which is represented by Lazarus. The chasm that keeps the rich man away from Lazarus and the bosom of Abraham is not created by God, but is the result of the rich man's arrogance and lack of insight. In this imagined scenario, the rich man would have all the access to God's love and mercy enjoyed by Lazarus, but he cannot see his own foolish pride that keeps him stuck in the hell he created. We are reminded of this arrogance and self-importance when, in the story, the rich man asks that Lazarus come to him and relieve his thirst. We see this again when the rich man requests that Lazarus be sent back to earth to save the rich man's brothers from a similar fate. The rich man still has no concept that Lazarus is not his inferior, that is sent on errands to benefit the rich man, no matter how worthy the outcome might be. The rich man cannot conceive that Lazarus is his equal and that he deserves to be treated with the dignity and respect of any human being. The scenario we are imagining suggests that God wants the rich man to be loved and comforted in the bosom of Abraham every bit as much as he wants Lazarus to be there. In our imaginings, the comfort of Abraham is not something that Lazarus earned or deserved. Rather, it was a gift that he was able to accept from God. The rich man, on the other hand, could not conceive of heaven as a gift offered by God that is not based on earthly success, riches, or importance. Even witnessing Lazarus's comfort in the afterlife, he could not imagine wanting to be in the same place. Instead, the rich man could only believe in a heaven of his own making, a heaven that ultimately becomes his hell. I'm not much, but I'm all I think about is my friend's way of avoiding the errors of the rich man. It is his way of reminding himself that God is offering him a chance to receive the gift of God's eternal love and mercy, regardless of his wealth, success, and privilege. But it takes some humility to see that the greatest gift God can offer us is a gift that he offers everyone, and that the only thing that separates any of us in God's eyes is whether we can recognize a gift that is so common and accept the gift that is so freely offered by God to all people, even the ones I don't want to associate with in my lifetime. But the humility needed to perceive this gift from God and accept it comes at a cost to my own personality and beliefs. If we cannot recognize this gift offered by God, it is because it is covered over with arrogance, or shame, or addiction, or anxiety, that we refuse to acknowledge and address in the presence of God. Can we imagine a choice of living in hell of our own creation, or the heaven of God's creation? Can we imagine a different end to today's gospel parable if the rich man could have uttered with a smile on his face, "I'm not much, but I'm all I think about"?